the biggest effect that I've noticed in my life since the quarantine, the lockdown, the social distancing has started is I have no concept of what time it is, what day it is, what the date is. Weekends and weekdays flow together into one endless day. Am I alone in feeling this way?
I don't think you are. And I can certainly speak from my experience, yes. And I think we have broader sort of psychological research that would suggest that this is likely a common experience for many of us right now. This is, you know, when we have an event like this with COVID-19 and the pandemic that is so extreme that it disrupts almost all aspects of our life, it's not uncommon to have this sort of sense of real sort of detachment from how our lives used to be or what the day-to-day motions of our life is like. And so I think there are probably a couple of pieces that are working together to create this challenge. And, you know, one is just the magnitude of this event that, you know, we're worldwide, sort of across the globe, everyone is experiencing this crisis to some bit at the same time. And so the magnitude of this event really can't be understated. So that alone, I think, you know, is a major stressor, of course. And then we know that in a human response to stress often comes at a cost to sort of our day-to-day functioning. And so things like losing a sense of time or losing a sense of forward momentum or exhaustion are really common responses to stress. I think one other piece of this, though, that likely is contributing, of course, is our safer at home sort of status, that so many of us are now kind of upending our routines in a way that we're living differently than before. And, you know, from a psychological perspective, that presents a major challenge. We know humans tend to do well and do best and thrive when they're sort of broadly interacting with the world in lots of different ways. You know, when we look at, you know, psychological adjustment, we're looking at folks who have lots of different roles and are kind of engaging in the world meaningfully in many different ways each day. And typically, of course, that means geographically moving through the world as well. So as we've all sort of shrunk our world geographically, I think that comes at a cost of some of those sort of meaningful ways and activities and things we used to have to help us keep a sense of time. Right? I know it's Friday because I know I'll be going out for a happy hour with friends. Or I know it's Saturday because I'm going to the movies or I'm going even to the store, right? Sort of the markers or ways we could even interact with the world have changed. And, you know, so I think that's where the sense of loss comes from. The good news, though, is we don't necessarily have to wait until sort of it's physically safe to be out in the world again to help build back some of that sense of routine and some of that sense of purpose that I think many of us are struggling with right now.
So is there a real positive psychological benefit to establishing a routine, even when, if we're being honest, we don't really necessarily have to at the moment because of our circumstances?
I think so. And in fact, some of the areas where the literature suggests this are folks who've been in extreme circumstances like this. You know, one area of wisdom that I've seen reported in some really tremendous and powerful interviews have come from folks who have been incarcerated and been in solitary confinement. And you know, unfortunately, we're increasingly becoming aware of the psychological toll that isolation has on individuals, especially, you know, in form of 23-hour-a-day lockdown in our criminal justice system. And many of them in their stories, when they talk about what helped, it is that sense of building a routine and building a sense of normalcy, even in a truly terrible environment psychologically for some. And so obviously our current situation is nowhere near as extreme as that. And I don't mean to make that direct comparison, but I think we can take some of the wisdom that folks who have survived and been in situations like solitary confinement and apply that same logic to our lives, that routine absolutely is essential. Building a sense of purpose each day, you know, really simple things like getting up and getting dressed, right? We can all wear pajamas right now, or at least many of us can, but that doesn't mean we should, or at the very least, you know, adapt and have a morning pajamas and an evening pajamas to change into, you know, maybe one slightly more formal than the other. But, you know, simple things like the cues of taking a shower, putting on clean clothes, those really do contribute to our psychological well-being. We see this, for example, in medical settings as well. The more we make hospital settings look like home that have sort of day-to-day routines, the better folks do in them. In fact, that was a major innovation in the treatment of psychological disorders that happened not too far from here, up in Anna, Illinois, at what used to be Anna State Hospital, was the discovery of this idea of the token economy, that, you know, where folks were there, they were simply taking medication and waiting for the medication to work, but otherwise really weren't engaged in any meaningful activities. And the late Ned Azrin and others kind of developed a program of ways of incentives to get patients in the hospital engaged in meaningful activities. Simple things like making your bed, brushing your teeth, participating in a program, eating with others. And it turned out that when folks did this, not only did it just improve their day-to-day quality of life, they actually recovered faster. Their functioning in the world improved. So I think we can take research like that and then the experiences of others who've been in these isolated states and kind of take some tips for what we can do ourselves to try to build a sense of routine and as much as possible, find, you know, ways to engage in the world each day. Even if we don't have to, it's probably good for us, just like eating our vegetables, which we should also literally do right now, to keep ourselves healthy, both physically and mentally.
We've spoken before about the resiliency of humans, and although we've been at this social distancing long enough now that we're starting to see some bumps in the road, I think we slipped into this relatively easily. Are we going to be able to flip that switch back and go back to our normal routine, our normal schedule, our normal social interaction post-COVID-19?
I guess that's an open question. We'll have to see. I have no doubt that humans will adapt, right? We know that we have a tremendous ability to adapt to new circumstances. So I think one thing that might be looking towards here is not going back to the old normal routine, but how do we create a new normal routine? Because I think one thing we're seeing as we're beginning to have a conversation about lifting these restrictions, about sort of starting to see what opening up would look again, you know, recognizing that we're likely going to have to do something differently when we're out, that it's not going to be as if, you know, one switch just magically flips and everything's back. It's going to be in stages, and it's likely going to require us to do things a little bit differently. You know, so, you know, while restaurants might be open, there might not be a table of 12 people. What would it be like to only sit with 4 or 6 at most? And so I think there'll be opportunities for us to kind of expand and get out into the world again. But I think it's also important for us to maybe temper our expectations that this isn't just going to be, oh, next week, everything's back to normal. I'm 100% how things were before. But look for ways to embrace and get back in the world in a way that also makes sure we stay safe.
But isn't that maybe good that we're not going to flip a switch and everything's going to be back to whatever normal is now, that we will gradually be re-entering society, re-entering our normal social interactions? Won't we be able to adapt to it better one step at a time?
I think so. I think you're right. And it also gives us an opportunity to possibly create a better normal, right? Both for our individual psychological health and then possibly as a society, right? To try to, you know, come back in a way that promotes health for all and make sure that we're all healthy and all able to enjoy our spaces. I think there are also opportunities here to help encourage, you know, spending more time outdoors. You know, we've talked before about the tremendous power of nature and sort of being out in natural beauty as it pertains to psychological health. So there might be some invitations here to find new routines that maybe involve less sort of being densely around other people, something that probably isn't coming back in the sort of reasonable short time frame, you know. But finding ways that we can enjoy new things in the world and then develop new hobbies, new activities, and new ways of engaging in the world.